Okay, hello everyone. My name is Ioan Erasmus. I'm involved with a small church community in Pretoria called Dialogue and with a group called the Beter Einders. And the reason why we are chatting is because it's the Thursday. I think it is the 15th of October, so it's the Thursday before the Friday. And what's happening on this Friday that is significant, especially in the Eastern Free State, is that there's this whirlpool of emotion after the killing of Brendan Horner, it was a farm murder, and this has just polarized the country again. So if you've been in a coma for the last few weeks, and then that's just maybe a bit of a recap. And what's happening tomorrow is that it's the court hearing of these murderers, and unfortunately it's now become a dividing line between black and white, and apparently the EFF will bus in a whole bunch of people, and we have Steve Hofmeyr and a lot of guys on the right also mobilizing. Because for them, this is just another story of white genocide. And just another example that in this new South Africa, white people aren't welcome and farmers specifically are the target. So it's sort of a battleground, and the battle line has been drawn there. And this very insignificant town in the Eastern Free State has now all of a sudden become the place where this battle is gonna take place. Hopefully, it's going to be a massive anticlimax. Hopefully, nobody can find cynical. Hopefully, there's nothing to report. But in the event that this is going to be a talking point, I guess this is just one more opinion on the internet. But luckily for you, I'm not going to talk to myself. I'm not going to give you my opinion. But I'm talking to a friend of mine who's a farmer and also a pastor. They're in Ficksburg, which is just around the corner of cynical. Petrus Rivier, and Petrus, I know, is very thrilled about the prospect of having this interview in English. So, Petrus, welcome.
Thank you, Johan. Appreciate it.
All right. So Petrus, you're a farmer. You are involved at the MD Foundation. So you guys are not just you're not a farmer. You are a collection or a collective. And farming together, and that's a very fascinating story in and of itself. And as much as you are listening to this and you're interested in learning more about them, we actually did a little video, and you can find it on our YouTube channel or on our Facebook page. Just Google MD Foundation, and it's a very inspiring story. But that's not why we're talking today, Petrus. I want to know, you guys are just around the corner of Senegal. And you're a farmer, you're a white farmer. Are you going to go to Senegal in solidarity? Do you feel like you need to be part of this struggle? I'm curious how you and your farming enterprise, how you guys are going to navigate the next few days.
Yes, Johan, I think we are all in South Africa part of the struggle because it impacts all of us on emotional, or religious level or whatever. I think we decided this morning that we want to be part of this solution and what lies beneath this whole issue. So we are going to gather with our people, all the people on our farm, black and white, and we are going to have a discussion, because I think there's a lot of confusion and a lot of uncertainties in all the people involved, blacks and whites. And I think the biggest problem is sometimes we don't talk to each other and we don't hear what's in each other's heart. So we're going to gather on our farm, and then we're going to discuss this issue, and then we're going to pray together about this, to ask God as a collective of black and white people to help us, to help our country, and to bring victory in this case. And then from there on, we have a hill on one of our farms overlooking Senekal, and then we're going to, as black and white people on our farm, going to pray together while we overlook, Senekal. We're going to pray and ask God to bless us and guide us in this situation and protect us. So that's our strategy, yeah.
Okay, interesting. So, Pietras, I'm interested in how we should think about farm murders, because it is so difficult to distinguish fact from fiction, because everybody has his or her statistics. And the one thing that I've noticed now is that statistics is not neutral, it's interpreted, and we bring our own collective and individual aspirations to the statistics. So, I mean, it's just fascinating to see that. But you've got one group who are convinced that this is just more evidence that there is a white genocide happening, or maybe if I can just put it a little bit softer, you know, massive prejudice in these murders towards white commercial farmers. And then you've got other people saying that this is just crime, and it's just another example of crime, and people in rural areas are isolated, and that makes them an easy target. So you've got different people coming at this discussion from different ways. So I'm curious, before we talk about a solution of any kind, or what you think could be a solution, just help me define the problem.
Yeah, of course, John. I think there's nothing good that we can say about farm murders. We know it's horrific and it's cruel, and it's devastating. It creates a lot of destruction in relationships, in the economy. So there's nothing good that we can say about it. And a lot of people suffer because of it. Not only white people. There are a lot of black people also, you know, murdered on farms. But my question is always, what lies behind this? Why do we see this happening? And as a Christian, I have no other choice but to go to the Bible and get my direction there. And when we read the Bible, God says, our fight is not against flesh and blood. So the first thing is, I must not think this is a thing about people fighting each other or black and whites fighting each other. The Bible says it's a fight against evil, the evil spirits in the air. So it's a spiritual fight. And every challenge that we face, actually, not only this challenge, is there's a spiritual fight that lies behind this. So it's a thing about light and darkness, evil and good that's going on. And, you know, sometimes as a Christian, I also lose hope. And we are living in on the farm, so we are also, in the process of, you know, handling this thing emotionally. And sometimes we feel a bit lost, and we don't know exactly what God's plan is, and where is God, and why is he not helping us, and what's going on. And then sometimes it's helpful for me to just think about, what's the strategy? What does Satan want to achieve through this? And then when I see his strategy, I can, you know, determine if I'm falling for his strategy or if I'm seeking, you know, God's way to handle and solve this issue. So I think through this whole phenomenon of farm murders, I think Satan wants us to lose focus. He wants us to lose our purpose. We as Christians, we are here firstly to seek God's kingdom and make his kingdom visible through everything we do. It's not just a spiritual thing. His kingdom is not a place where we go when we die. It's something that must be established here on earth. And I think Satan wants to take our eyes off our focus and our goal, and wants us, you know, the moment you lose focus, you become hopeless. And that's what's happening through this whole thing. I think people start to feel hopeless. They feel they're overwhelmed. They feel there's no solution to this. We are just, you know, we must just struggle to survive and keep our heads above water. And that's the strategy of Satan. He wants to control our emotions and make us feel, you know, that it's a lost case. I think the next thing that is behind the strategy is that Satan wants us to feel like we are victims. We are not in control. We can't do anything to change it. And instead of being victors in Christ, you know, that we are the conquerors, we start to feel like losers. And as soon as you feel that you are a loser, you know, Satan takes control of your mind and your energy, and he forces you to start to react like a victim, that everything is somebody else's fault, and other people are causing the problem, and we are just, you know, the victims of all these things that are happening in South Africa. And of course, that's a very dangerous thing if that starts to happen to me when I become a victim. Then I'm also not in control of the hope that must come because I must just sit and wait and for all these things to pass. And I think the other thing is, and one of the biggest things that's behind this strategy is Satan wants to increase racial tension and mistrust to create chaos. I mean, as a matter of fact, we are 80% Christians almost in South Africa. So Satan cannot afford these 80% of Christians, black and white, to come together. He cannot afford that. So part of his strategy must be to divide these people so that he can create this tension and in the end, you know, allow politicians to control us and politicians to determine how we feel about each other. The truth is that farm murders are not a black and white thing. I mean, we've heard the testimony of this of the owner of the farm where this murder took place, and he said clearly that this is not a black and white thing. They are suffering in Paul Roo because of violence, because of corruption, because of a lot of other things. And there's a cartel working there that's creating all this chaos. And he said
a stock theft cartel, right?
Stock theft cartel that is creating, you know, this problem. And he said that only a few months ago, one of his black employees was attacked by the same people. And they almost, you know, killed him. They hit his head into a pulp and he was for 5 months in a coma.
Sure.
They thought, you know, he was going to die. So this is not a black and white thing, but the strategy behind it is to make it a black and white thing so that Satan can use this tension and this mistrust to control our minds and our emotions. And as I've said, is the problem is in South Africa, we don't know each other. White people don't know black people and black people don't know white people.
Before we get there, because I love what you're saying, but I just want to double click on one thing. And that is what you're telling me is that it's a little bit sad when anybody gets murdered, right? I mean, not a little bit, it's horrific when anybody gets murdered. But what's a little bit sad is the fact that we do pick on the stories that we want to tell and that we want to highlight, and it's quite clear to me that there are some political gains to be had from it. So one of my friends who farms in the Eastern Cape, when I phoned him to ask a little bit of clarity on this, he said, well, one of his farm workers were murdered a month ago. And he said that a week later, he was still trying to get the police to just open a file on this. And no leads, nothing. And he went to the funeral, and this is a father, this is a husband, and he's dead, and he was brutally murdered again. Again, stock theft was the, at least they are suspects. And nothing in the local newspaper, you know, nothing on Genocide Watch or anything. So perhaps it is necessary for a lot of white South Africans to first acknowledge the problem of rural safety and farm murders, but maybe not to buy the narrative that suggests that this is only something happening to white farmers. This is not necessarily a racial thing. This is a rural safety farmer thing. And because you're a pastor and you can't help yourself, you'll say it's just a supernatural thing.
Well, it's a physical thing that starts spiritually. And it plays out physically. So, you know, as we know, there's a fight for our lives spiritually, and the direction we choose will determine, you know, on which side we will fight. But farm murders, as you've said, it's not a fight against white farmers. It's a fight to destroy our country. Mm-hmm. That's what's happening. And part of this the strategy to destroy our country is for black and white people to be in tension with each other and to fight each other. That's part of the plan. Because as I've said, Satan cannot afford black and whites to stand together on this issue. Mm-hmm. Because that will be a moment where we will start to see hope, where we will start to see reconciliation and victory in our country when we really, you know, start to tackle this thing together. So,
Peters, what you're saying is that farm murders is a thing, but you do not agree that it's it's a black on white thing. You have enough evidence and experience to suggest that there are a lot of stock theft cartels, and they do not discriminate against black and white. They are ruthless.
Yeah, no, that's really my opinion. That, okay. It's a phenomenon that, you know, affects all of the citizens of South Africa living on farms, as well as people in other areas. You know, we are all suffering
food security, from, right?
So we're all suffering from that. That's the case. Yes.
So Petrus, now one thing that I do not quite understand is the fact that, I mean, I visited you on the farm, and when I got there, it didn't feel like Fort Knox, you know, and I'm not sure if you don't have money for a security upgrade, but I didn't get the impression that you guys are living there in fear. I also noticed that you had a lot of farm workers that are your neighbors, and I asked you whether it's safe, and you said it's safe except for Sunday afternoons when they play their music, and you do not have a lot of rhythm to dance with it. But apart from that, there's no animosity. Do you live in fear where you are?
No, we don't live in fear, yeah. No, because I think we try to focus on the solution and the fact that, you know, as people, we have eternal life, so we don't have to fear anything. I mean, of course, we live in a situation where people's lives are being threatened, black and white. My partner in our farming business, as well as my neighbor, his father was murdered on the farm.
Sure.
12 years ago. So it's a reality. It's a reality that we live in this situation, but we don't live in fear, because the Bible teaches that where there's love, there's no fear, because this love conquers fear. And when I try to focus on our community being a community as a whole, where we look after each other, that fear goes away automatically, because the black people on our farm is not our enemies. They are part of our community. They're part of our family, in fact, to help us to be safe, to be effective in handling issues like this. But we are all, you know, because in this world, God says we are going to face these challenges, and we face them. Of course, there are a lot of things that we need to focus on. Everything is not as in heaven at this stage. We still need to work on the relationships. There are still things going wrong on the farm because of our past, because of what we are doing now. But I think we want to focus on the solution and how to fix it. And
maybe elaborate a bit more, Petrus, on the solution.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we said, you know, the strategy of Satan, we know that now is to create that kind of havoc. But I think part of the solution for me as a farmer is, and a person living in South Africa as a whole, is that I have to change my expectation, firstly. I have to understand that I'm firstly a citizen of this kingdom of heaven. And because I'm a citizen of this kingdom of heaven, I become a stranger and a pilgrim on this earth. And that brings me in direct conflict with the strategy of what Satan wants to create. But I have to acknowledge the fact that I'm not here for my own leisure. I'm not here for myself. I'm placed here as a kingdom citizen with a purpose. But in that, I'm a stranger. So it won't help me to stand on my rights and feel that, you know, I'm a victim of injustice. As a pilgrim on this earth, I expect that I will experience injustice, that there will be things going wrong, and I will be treated in ways that I don't like. Actually, Christ tells us, he said, because you follow me, the same things that happen to me will happen to you. So I think sometimes we are shocked, you know, if injustice happens, and God says, but expect that. That's part of the reason why you are there, is to make an impact and solve the injustice instead of creating more injustice and more chaos. So first, if I change my expectation, I'm not shocked when things happen that is horrific or unjust. Secondly, I think I have to focus to find my purpose. I must ask myself as a citizen of South Africa, do I know why I'm here? Is it just, you know, by accident that I was born here? Or was I put here by God to have a purpose? Because if I find that purpose, I'm not controlled by all the things going on around me, and I'm not distracted by that because I know I'm here for a reason. And I know that God has a plan. You know, part of the strategy of Satan is to make us think that God doesn't have a plan for South Africa anymore, and therefore we lose hope. But if I know, you know, I have a purpose and God has a plan, I know that plan can only lead to one place, and that is victory. God only takes us to victory. That's what he says in the Bible. But now I have to discover my purpose in that. I know the war is still going on. There's a spiritual fight going on, but I have a purpose in this, and I can impact this because of the love and the power of Christ. I'm not here to live in a place where I'm actually here because of the challenges. And that changes my whole focus, that we say, you know, Senekal is happening, but what are we going to do about it? What is God's purpose for this? So that through this whole thing, there can be hope and there can be victory, and we and this and South Africa can be at a better place because of Senekal, not in a worse situation. And lastly, I think what I have to understand is that God's plan is not going to roll out in South Africa without me and you. God's plan will need me and you. And God's plan will need black and white brothers and sisters to work together. It will not happen through white people alone or through black people alone, no matter what politicians think. It will need white and blacks to solve this issue. That's why we are placed here, together. And we spent hundreds of years not, you know, coming to that point where you say, we take charge now and take this responsibility. So my purpose is, in this situation, is how do I reach out to black people to create a bridge, to reconcile, so that Satan loses his effect to create havoc in what's happening here. So that's part of my plan. And the moment I start reaching out, I find a friend. I find somebody else there that also needs hope, that also needs the security that there's a place for us in South Africa, because that's what we need. And through that, reaching out to each other, we are, you know, fulfilling God's purpose for us. I believe we are here in 2020 for a time like this to be part of the solution. And part of that plan is, as I've said, is to be part of this reconciliation and reaching out. And I think I must ask myself, did I fall into this trap of Satan? Did I fall into negativity, hopelessness, angriness? Did I fall into racism? So if that's part of my life, I know that the strategy of Satan is working in my life. And now God says, okay, come on, be part of the solution, be part of the victory, and decide on which side of the fight you want to be on. And I can see these things are happening in South Africa. You know, through a number of videos that I've seen the past few days, farmers standing up and talking about this hope in Christ. One of my partners on the farm had a meeting 3 days ago where black and white leaders in South Africa, I'm not talking about politicians, I'm talking about people like Chief Justice Mogoeng Mogoeng and a number of other community leaders, black people, farmers, came together. I'm not exactly sure, but it's about 300 people that came together on a forum like that, like a Zoom meeting, and they discussed these issues. And in the end, they concluded by saying there's hope if black and white people start living together, start creating this wonderful friendships in family relationships in Christ, and that's giving me energy. I can see in that there's hope. But in people fighting each other and creating this mentality of conflict, that takes me to a place of hopelessness and fear and uncertainty about the future. Luckily, we don't have to be uncertain. We have purpose and God has a plan. And
Peter, you always talk about, sorry to interrupt you, always talk about relationship. In this little discussion that we're having now and before, you've constantly referred to relationship as key. And it's as if when, because what's happening now is that white farmers would say, not white farmers, let's say lobby groups or that rhetoric on that side would say that this is attack on white farmers, and here are the statistics: you are more likely to be killed on a farm than on than in the police force or something like that. And then many people would say, okay, but why are you only concerned about the farmer? This, what about all the brutal killings in our townships and in other parts, in other rural areas? Why is this only an issue? And it's almost as if we are in relationship with each other, if the farmer outside of Vicksburg has relationships with, I'm not sure what the township is called in Vicksburg, but now if he's got relationships with people there, then it's almost as if we won't have this kind of suspicion, because Pietrus will know Tabang in the township or wherever that guy might be, and you guys will share the stories firsthand, and then there's not this suspicion every time we raise things. And then it's almost a case as if you know, the guy in the township there or wherever is in solidarity with you and you with him, because you know each other's stories. We are not just pushing our own victim stories, but we are almost pushing each other's stories, because he's your friend and your brother or your sister. So I think what I'm hearing from you in terms of solution, what you're saying is it's relationship, relationship, relationship.
Yeah, I think that's part of the problem. The reason why we are divided on this is because we don't really love each other. I don't feel the pain of that person dying in the township. Mm-hmm. And therefore, you know, it's not on my radar when I'm thinking about the problems in South Africa. We don't even have the statistics of that. And I don't feel that loss. And therefore, I can't expect black people to feel the loss when there's a farmer being murdered. Because, you know, the truth is, we are not involved with each other. It's not part of my family that are suffering. I think part of this is to start to mourn together and experience each other's pain, so that we can meet each other also in that situation. We are just, you know, reaping the fruits of not really being in a reconciled place where we really love each other, and therefore we use each other's pain for conflict instead of to draw each other closer. And we also had a murder on our farm. A black lady was killed by her husband, and it's so easy. The police come and they take the people away, and you know, it's finished. And then actually, you know, God took us to a place and said, listen, we have to take action. This is not right. It cannot happen on our farms. We put structures in place to make sure that these things must not happen again. So that it will call us to reconstruct our whole country and not just farms. We have to establish this city of God, this kingdom. But there's a lot of broken down walls, and we must not just fix one. We must take hands to fix it together. And I think we will be surprised in how effective we will be if we look at it in that way. South Africa has a history of broken relationships, and that's what we are seeing. That's why we know each other through the media and through what politicians tells us, instead of really knowing each other by heart and spending time with each other.
It's a strategy that's been part of this country for a while, because in apartheid they spoke about die swart gevaar, you know, blackness, and people were very scared of the black danger, and you know, what it presents or represents, and it's easy to wage war against blackness because it sounds kind of scary. And but it becomes a whole lot more difficult to wage war against taboo or you know, whoever, Ramaphosa, or maybe somebody that you know, not just somebody that you see there, not just somebody that is vilified, but somebody that you're in relationship with. So maybe that's part of the key. And, you know, in the new South Africa, you've got whiteness and white monopoly capital, and it sounds equally scary. And if we are just going to wage, if we're just going to interact with each other through the media or through populist thinkers, then it's not going to be pretty. But if it's, you know, friends standing next to each other from different races, then reconciliation is bound to happen. Yeah, Pietrus, thanks, man. I appreciate the reflection, and I appreciate what you guys are doing, because it's not just farming, but it's trying to take a whole community with you. And I encourage anybody who listens to this to go and check out the MD Foundation, go check out our video that we made of them. And it's all about not just farming for themselves, but, you know, they've built schools and hospices and clinics, and it's just such an exciting thing that they are doing there. And they are definitely not victims, they are agents. And we appreciate you. Pieters, you effectively gave a sermon today, so you can just as well finish with a word of prayer.
Yes, let's pray together. Thanks. Father, we honor you just for the opportunity to belong to you and to know that you are always leading us in the triumph of Jesus Christ. Thank you that we are not hopeless. Thank you that you will never leave us behind. You are our God. You are a God that stays. And you are guiding us through this issue, challenges that we are facing. We are praying for our country and for all our brothers and sisters, black and white. We pray, Father, for something new that will happen in the hearts of our people, for a new hope that will arise in our spirit. Because, Father, we will be inspired by you and your love for everyone, so that we can start showing that love to each other. Thank you for your victory. We pray your protection over all our people who are suffering together in this country. We pray, Father, that you will make us one. We honor you for your love in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thanks, Pieters. Maybe something else that I can just add is that Beter Einders, I want to say we started a campaign, but that's overstating it. We designed a little flyer. So a lot of people are now using this to divide. And what a lot of people are doing, and I don't want to diss it, but they put these white crosses on and it's sort of become the symbol of farm murders. And what we say is, yes, we need to highlight the problems there. But something else that we want to know is that, that we want to stress is that it's definitely not just white people being murdered. There are many people, and unfortunately, they do not make the headlines. I'm assuming that this lady that was killed on your farm, that didn't make it into the news. And it's important that we carry all of the turmoil and everything that is captured in farmers, that we hold them together, not just when a white commercial farmer is being murdered. So we've decided to launch this little thing that says Ons Suffer Saam. And instead of just having a white cross there, we have a white and a black cross, and together they make a hashtag for the trendy people out there. So hashtag Ons Suffer Saam. And maybe if we can just enlarge our moral imagination and realize that there are lots of people in South Africa suffering. Mm. So let's not just focus on our own victimhood, but on the collective. And perhaps we can move into a better future. Thanks, Pietrus. Mm. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
And let's hope that tomorrow will be a non-event and that people would move over to solutions.
Yeah, well, we hope it will be a big event in creating a new South Africa where we can really see God's work in our suffering together, but also in our conquering together.
Yeah. Cool. Amen, broer.
Ah, sorry. Ah. Ja, dankie, Johan.